Mel Byron, who's on for Friday. She's on before you. She's on at 7 o'clock, and she's on Saturday at 1 o'clock as well.
Oh.
She's doing a show called Standing at the Back, which is a voyage of into self-esteem. I know for some reason it just sounded like both of the shows.
No, Mel's a good friend of mine.
She
was the one who said I should come to Morecambe. So yes, no, we're travelling up together, in fact, and staying in.
Really? No way.
Yeah.
So my next question was going to be, how did you hear about Morecambe?
Yeah. Mel Byron. There you go.
Yeah, well, oh my God. And so this is a callback to something that I said earlier that we'll laugh about now because I need to call and tell Mel. But you know when I said I'd forgot to record someone?
Oh, is it Mel?
It was.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm not going to tell her today what I'm going to do because I'll be putting these shows together so that they go out the week before your section, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So she's on in the second week. I'll tell her and either Monday or Tuesday I'll re-record her. Okay. It was a real pity because it was a diamond conversation.
Oh, I'm sure it was, yeah.
It was wonderful. Oh, well, that's amazing. So I'm glad that it just struck me that your two shows were vibing on the same frequency. That's great. Wonderful. Thank you so much indeed for your time. I can't wait to see this show and nice to connect with a sister fringe. Faversham Fringe. And I I'm going to have difficulty with that. And I'm going to chat to my acting partner and see what he thinks about the Faversham Fringe. Because I think we'll be going down. Well, and if not, yeah, we will. Anyway, take care. Love you loads. Can't wait to meet you in the flesh, so to speak.
Yes, can't wait. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Speaking to Daphne, is it Barham?
It's Barham, yeah.
Barham. Okay, Daphne Barham and Gary Sansom, who are both on Saturday, 16th of July, one after another, 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, quick question then, Daphne. What's your show?
My show is called Out and About. I named it as I was still under the spell of the great joy of coming out of COVID and roaming the streets and gigging again and traveling. And I'm basically trying to look at our world as we found it when the doors opened and we were let out.
This is great. So this is the first sort of post-COVID show that I've come across. So is this
attempt to be
this is great. So what are your hopes for the show? You're taking it up to Edinburgh?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I just want to do the show, enjoy it, enjoy the interaction with the audiences again, and work on it as they go along, because I think the process of rediscovering the world as it is an ongoing task, an ongoing grateful mission, and I think it's going to be one of these shows that grows throughout the fringe. That's my hope.
Yes,
with the help of the audience.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So, I mean, about yourself, you were a human rights lawyer before going into...
Oh, yeah, that was many years ago. I talked a little bit about it in the show. I was a human rights lawyer in Israel. I was representing Palestinians in military courts in the West Bank in Gaza. And after that, I was a journalist and a news editor in a Jerusalem-based newspaper. That's what brought me to the UK. I came for a fellowship in Oxford 20 years ago, exactly.
Wow.
For six months. So these were long 6 months. I've ever since become British in 2016 because I wanted to be European in it. And and I'm still here. I'm a translator and a comedian.
This is incredible. So what a journey. What a journey. And do you talk about this in the show as well?
I mention it in the show. I mean, not all of it. I mean, I had some past shows that were really dedicated to my past and biography.
Yeah.
But as the show is a work in progress, I might talk a little bit more about this year. Yeah. I'm still not quite sure. We're not quite there. I have a whole week to go until I need to present a full show. So bear with me.
No problem. And what are your hopes for Edinburgh? What's a successful Edinburgh for you? What do you want to get out of this one? Anything in particular?
I feel that for me, a successful Edinburgh would be doing the show every day, having a full room every day, and communicate with my audiences, manage to write as much as I can during the Fringe, broaden my perspective of what happened to people post-COVID. I think I'm still trying to decipher it. So in a way, and very much unlike me, this is not a show that starts up with the bottom line. I'm still, it's an exploring show. It's an examining show. I'm still trying to understand what is it that is going on? How did our world change? And I hope my audience will help me do it.
That's incredible.
And of course, if somebody wants to give me a television show to sign me with a massive agent, pay me a lot of money, that would be amazing. But as it is, covering expenses would be great too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This sounds a really good show, a really interesting. So you involve the audience a lot. You're going to bring them on the journey. You're going to ask them questions. You're going to see what's going on.
A little bit. I'm not a very intrusive performer. Right. So I want people to feel that if they come to my show, they can also sit back and not contribute. But if they do want to contribute, I think that more than almost every show I've ever done, this is going to be a conversation. I want to hear what people went through in COVID. So, yeah, absolutely.
This is great. Absolutely brilliant. Pass me over to Gary.
I'm passing you over to the extremely shamelessly young Gary Sansom. He's not even 40. Here you go.
Not even 40. Yeah. How are you keeping, mate? It's lovely to see.
I'm good. Yeah, I've been recovering from a hangover from yesterday, but other than that, I'm good. I had a big one on Friday, so otherwise things are good. Looking forward to the Fringe season starting, so going to Morecambe and then Shaftesbury the following week, and then we'll be Edinburgh. So yeah, just getting back into the swing of things. Got a new venue in Edinburgh this year.
Well, yeah,
the Brewdog Hotel, which is a new venue just off Canonsgate. So it seems to be a few teething problems with the setup and stuff, but we shall see how it goes. But yeah, there's, you know what it's like with these new venues. So so we were supposed to be at Chow Roma, but Chow Roma, I'm not doing Fringe this year. They're having some renovations. So yeah, I was originally at Chow Roma, and it was just kind of lucky that they kind of dropped out like 2 days before the Fringe program was getting printed. So I was actually very lucky that we were able to get it in time before it was printed. So because I already paid for it. So they're not going to give you the money back, but they were at least able to get it in. So that was good.
Well, that's good. That's great. Oh, wow. So Chow Roma not happening this year because they're renovating?
Chow Roma not happening, but Brewdog is happening all the same time as what was supposed to be 7:05. There's a couple of shows that I've asked that I wouldn't shout slightly later, 7:15. But yeah, it's let's just see what the venue's like, because yeah, there's basically a terrace outside. So they're saying that they might have to use that to serve people coming in and getting drinks during the show. Obviously, that would be really bad.
We'll see. So your successful Edinburgh would just be a venue that runs smoothly.
At this point, possibly, yeah. I'm sure it'll all work out in the end.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what have you been up to, dude? Last couple of years, I think, well, obviously, we've had COVID. Last time I saw you was up in Edinburgh, but before then you did the Morecambe Comedy Festival.
Yeah, I did the Morecambe Fringe the first year. Yeah. The first year you ran it, I was there, which was great. We had a good time. It was, I think it was during the, what was it? What was the first year? Was it 2018 or?
17 was the first Fringe, but the second, I think you did the first Comedy Festival. Which
right.
That was almost like the dry run of the Fringe in July, and then we had the European Cup was on and England did really well.
Yeah, I remember that, but we still did okay, yeah, because I was worried. It was the England Sweden quarter final that day. 2018 World Cup. It was definitely I'd never been to Morecambe before. It was in a social club, so I was not expecting, as a Scottish guy, to get the nicest welcome necessarily, but actually it was lovely. It was nice.
It was really good, really 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 good. Looking forward to getting you back. So the title of the show is the same, but I'm assuming it's changed.
Well, there's still some of the same material in there somewhat, because the show is a Bald Man Sings Rihanna, so she hasn't actually brought out a new album since the start of the show, so I haven't been able to update the Rihanna sections too much. But yeah, there's a lot of new material in there. So the show started in 2016, I think, was the first Edinburgh, and yeah, there's a lot of material I don't do anymore from that period, and there's a lot of new stuff in there. So it gets smoother and smoother, and there's different, add different bits to it every year. So
it's an evolution. I can't wait to see it. We talked about that.
I'll have a new umbrella.
You have a new umbrella.
The umbrella, yeah. Umbrella finally giving up. So that counts as writing a new joke, new section.
Fantastic. Umbrella,
different print on it, yeah. But yes, I think, as you saw the last time, the show's very much crowd work based, a lot of it. So it's never the same two nights in a row. And I've had a lot of people that have came back in different years in Edinburgh over the years, because, yeah, it's different every night. Always involves a lot of crowd work and interaction. So,
I mean, is that your background, sort of improv, or did you just, like, one day decide to get up on a stage and do this?
Well, I do. I've ran gigs and I've emceed a lot, so the crowd work comes from the emceeing background, basically. So that's what I enjoy. It keeps it fresh for me, but there's lots of jokes in the show as well, so it's not just purely, and it's clearly crowd work will depend on what the audience give you back. So sometimes that if there's not that level of interaction, you will do more material. Because you can't make it, you can't force it on people. If people are, they're either up for crowd work or they're not, so you may have to have different feathers in your cap to pull out, basically. Otherwise, every audience is different. So
absolutely, some are more timid than others, and or some are really up for it, and some are too up for it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think I've been very lucky over the years. I've always had really good crowds. Did a lot of shows in New Zealand. There are definitely more timid crowds there, but you could have a lot of fun with that.
Wow, it's incredible. Yeah. Did you do any Australian shows when you were over in that part of the world?
Well, yeah, I did. I lived in Australia for a year.
All right.
A few years back, I was before Bald Man Sings Rihanna, but I was doing the stand-up circuit there. And yeah, I did take Bald Man Sings Rihanna to the Perth and Adelaide Fringes in 2020.
Right.
And then I went to New Zealand Fringe 2020. I did that 3 years in a row, but basically I've been in New Zealand for the last 2 years. I got back in December, so I basically I went there for a Fringe festival to do Bald Man Sings Rihanna. So hopefully I won't, as much as I love Morecambe, hopefully I won't end up in Morecambe for the next 2 years, because that's what happened. The last time I did a Fringe, I stayed for 2 years in the country, because obviously the world locked down. So
that's unbelievable. So I was speaking to Charmian Hughes earlier, and she left. She managed to get out via Canada, she was saying.
Charmian was really struggling. Charmian was, of course, I'm a single man. Charmian was married. So I was lucky that, in the sense that I didn't have to race back. Obviously didn't race back at all. Came back to you. But yeah, it was, the best place to be in those 2 years, really, for the most part, because the way that they handled it, in terms of, great for the people who were in the country, you know, because they locked it down and kind of killed the virus off there, which was for that period, which was good.
That's incredible. So that was you were just saying that the audiences are a bit more timid in New Zealand, and the reason that I brought Australia was, I would imagine them to be a bit more boisterous.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, definitely. Australian audiences are louder and more less reserved, for sure. I wouldn't say they were as rowdy as they are here. I think the UK is the most is probably the hardest audience, is the UK, in my experience.
Yeah.
I think because of just in Australia, stand-up comedy, certainly a comedy circuit, it's still relatively new, I think, compared to the UK, where it's been really long established. Obviously Australia have had comedians, but going to comedy clubs, I don't think, has been such a big, is a more recent thing there. So I think people treat it with a bit more respect. They see it as, and it's same as when you go in America as well. I think you go to a comedy club and the crowds kind of, in the UK I feel like the crowds think they're funnier than you. And they think that you have to prove it. You have that, where you have to win them over, which it's a phrase that I absolutely hate as a performer, that you have to go in and win a crowd over. It's like, if you're paid to see a show, like, who goes to a show and thinks this is going to be rubbish? Sometimes I think that's a British mentality, though, because we've just so used to like Billy Connolly and such amazing performers that we have. People are like, if they're not on TV, they're always going up.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, American audiences are lovely and generous and very loud and responsive. And in the UK, there is this, okay, well, make me laugh. Yeah. That English reserve.
Yeah. Although in Edinburgh, I've always found the audiences to be great. Yeah. So I think Edinburgh is a comedy festival. And because people are going for an event, they treat it like that way. They're really up for it. The same as like going to Glastonbury or something. You go there to have a good time, don't you?
Yeah.
It's not always experience that some people have, you know, if you do like later shows, I think some of the later paid shows where people just pick a show randomly, they don't know what they're seeing. I've had people like that come to my show over the year as well. You know, you sometimes get random people coming out of the rain. But I think Bald Man Sings Rihanna is a very specific type of show that people that are going to come to are going to people that are up for something silly, because otherwise they wouldn't come to something so ridiculous, really. Ridiculous idea. Yeah. So yeah, people do come with the fact in mind that it's going to be a stupid thing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, looking forward to getting back up to Morecambe again, and new venue this time, and it looks really fun, the Playhouse. So
yeah. Looking forward to having you in there. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to seeing you and grabbing a pint with you as well. Take care. Take care, Daphne, and take care, Gary.
Can I say one more thing? I just want to say this. I'm very excited about coming up to Morecambe. I have a bit of a Morecambe connection because I've been doing my PhD at the University of Lancaster over the last year and a half, and I still have 2 years to go. It's about immigrant comedians in the UK, and it's very much a work in progress. So I'm hoping that some of my friends and colleagues from Morecambe and from Lancaster would come and see me. So it's LICA, the Lancaster Institute for Contemporary Art in the University of Lancaster. So basically the degree lives under theatre, but it has a sociological, politics and immigrational kind of context.
Wow. I'll get the word out to the LICA people.
Oh, fantastic. That would be great. My supervisor, Camiro, is definitely coming. And yeah, I mean, possibly also my other supervisor, Andrew Quick.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That's amazing. How weird is that you're doing your
PhD? Exciting, yes.
That's great. All right, super. Well, we'll definitely shout out about that.